you want, what you are, baby. Look at you, getting more than just a re-up.
Look at you. Got all the puppets with the strings up. Beautiful Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about women self-silencing. 844-967-2789. Men and women, if you're wondering what I mean by that, I've got some questions. So let's start there. If any of these resonate from you, with you, my great friend, coach to the Fortune 100 CEO set, Susan K. Worley, inventor of the Cheetah Method, we're going to be here talking about this, listening to your stories, sharing some of ours this entire hour. 844-967-2789. Do any of these statements resonate with you? If you do, if they do, give us a call. 844-967-2789. Here I go. Ladies and men that love any woman. If you're a man, do you know a woman who might identify with this? Any of these statements. I said yes, even when I didn't want to. I've endured cruelty and abuse because I was trying to help blank. I hold my tongue more than I say what I think, feel, expect, or need. I hold my tongue more than I say what I think, feel, expect, or need. I let others have the last word, even when I passionately disagree, just to keep the peace. And last but certainly not least, I fear disappointing people. Ladies, men that love any woman, do these resonate with you? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. So Susan is with me here in the studio, and I want to explain the origin for our discussion today. And that was a piece in Time magazine written by Maital Eyal. Last name is spelled E-Y-A-L, in case you're trying to look it up. The topic, the title of the piece was Self-Silencing is Making Women Sick. And I wanted to start with a few statistics. Then I want Susan to introduce myself, and then we're going to get all into it. Join our conversation, 844-967-2789. Talk and text lines are open. Women account for 80% of autoimmune disease. Women are at higher risk for chronic pain, insomnia, fibromyalgia, long COVID, IBS, and migraines, chronic fatigue, HIV, and cancer. We experience these things twice as much as men. Depression, anxiety, and PTSD. We're twice as likely as men to suffer a heart attack. And we have a 9-fold greater incidence of anorexia, which is the most lethal of all mental health diseases. And this cannot be explained statistically by genetics or hormones or even whether or not we're smokers, not smokers, our blood pressure levels, what we eat. In 2022, the University of Pittsburgh found that women of color who agreed strongly with this statement were 70% more likely to experience carotid arteriosclerosis, which is cardiovascular plaque. It was this statement: I rarely express my anger to those close to me. In Massachusetts, just a few years ago, they concluded a study where researchers followed 4,000 women for over 10 years. And what they found was that women reported consistent levels of self-silencing, which is not expressing boundaries, needs, angers, disagreement, concerns. Women who self-silenced on a routine basis were 4 times more likely to die. I'll say this, that the virtues of womanhood, some of what we're taught to believe is normal or best for women to behave like, actually makes us sick. It can kill us. So we're going to talk about Susan's experience, my experience, and your experience. 844-967-2789. Do you have experience with self-silencing. The other ways I like to express this, Susan, is the curse of competence. We have to be competent and in control in every circumstance. We have the curse of congeniality. No, probably not. That's all of those things are a big deal. Maybe you can. I don't know. Is the B word one of them? Who knows? That we have to have a purpose to be perfect.
Right.
Right. These are heavy burdens.
Mother Teresa.
Yes.
Virgin Mary, you know.
All of that stuff, right? Agreeability, extreme selflessness, the suppression of anger, the likability dilemma. 844-967-2789. And I haven't even gotten to the expectation that we look pretty all the time.
Well, right. We can look pretty, but not speak up. Like, just sit there and look nice.
Look pretty, but don't speak.
Right.
And if you do, be really nice about it.
Yeah. I pivoted my business from working with men. I'm an executive coach to women 5 years ago. And a complete difference. I mean, men can get away with saying to each other, that's ridiculous. You're full of, you know what?
Yep.
And stuff like that. And they never think, oh, was I too mean? Or did I say that right? Where women are really afraid of that because we've been conditioned just the way you explained.
Well, and I think the self-editing that goes on, right? The fear of disappointing, the fear of being unliked. I have personally struggled with that through my entire career. I think anybody that's listened to the Maggie Dawn Show would likely guess that people have used all sorts of words to describe me throughout my life. The B word, the C word. Some of the cleaner words, insolent.
There's a whole alphabet for
yes,
that, right?
Uppity. We could probably do it an alphabet of pejorative terms about women when they stand up for themselves, right?
I can think of a few others.
Yes. Maybe that'll be like a little vocab test for me next week. Can I come up with an alphabet of words that people use to basically tell women to look pretty and shut up?
Right.
Have you experienced this? 844-967-2789. This article struck so many chords for me, even in how I have to express legal advice, right? What is solidly within my expertise area? I have to do that in an extremely deferential way, right? Lest anyone be upset by it. Now, I've accepted that, and there's ways that I let myself be me when I'm doing that. But it's taken a long time to get to that place for me. Can you tell us a little bit, how did you become a professional coach, Susan? What's your story? What made you decide to focus on women leaders?
Well, I've been in business as an executive coach for 34 years. In the first 29 years, I was actually working with executive men. I pivoted 5 years ago to work with women because the brain research is really supporting exactly what you're saying, Maggie. What's happening is that in our gut, women, we have more neurotransmitters, hormones, and neurons than in our head brain. And what happens is when we get this gut alert, and we call it women's intuition, what happens is we then get stuck in our heart as we're bringing this up the vagus nerve, all these emotions and wondering, is it okay to have the emotions? Is it okay to express the emotion? Is it normal? Am I too sensitive? And what happens is all that energy, the neurons, neurotransmitters, hormones, are getting stuck in our body. Think of it as this vagus nerve that goes through, it's the biggest nerve in the body. It goes through the gut, heart, to the head. And if we get stuck in the muck of our emotions, that means all of that is stuck in our body, and that's what's making us sick. I didn't see that with men. And when I saw that the statistics said that women outrank men 17 out of 19 leadership characteristics, but we needed to work on two, risk-taking and negotiation. That's speaking up.
Yes.
That's speaking up. And I'm like, you know, I think I can help them because working with men for all those years, I know what is okay and what is not.
It's interesting when you talk about risk-taking was one, and then what was the other one?
Negotiation, which is speaking up too.
Right. To me, risk-taking is accepting that you might disappoint.
Hello, exactly 100%. It's you facing your own truth about that and then taking that deep breath into your gut. And let's feel that all in our, you know, heart right now, that anxiety, like, okay, I'm going to take a risk and speak my truth. Then the second part is the negotiation, right? Right. Everything's not black and white.
How many times, women, have you said yes before you've negotiated for the resources necessary to actually fulfill the yes, right? Like, holy cannoli. It took me 15 years into my career because I wanted to please so badly that by pleasing, I was validated, I was affirmed, that I was showing that I was worthy, right? So I would say yes, and then I would struggle because there weren't enough resources. Instead of saying, I might be able to do that, but here's what I need. Negotiate before the yes.
Yeah.
Right?
This is a common thing, whether it's at home or at work. I'll have my female clients say to me that so-and-so wants something more of me. They want a piece of me, like Britney Spears, right?
Yep.
And then I always say to them, well, right, show what you've got going on and say,
yes.
Hey, I would love to help, but here's my situation. How might we? This is the famous phrase that I use. How might we? How might we consider what you need, but also consider what I have all going on right now? And that's negotiation.
Yes. And it happens in everyday little ways. It happens in enormous ways, whether we're negotiating for raises or for resources when there's an incredible expansion of duties and responsibilities. How many of you sitting out there, ladies, 844-967-2789, are thinking to yourself, yes, I've taken on all kinds of more duties at work, but oddly, my salary didn't go up. And why is that? We're going to continue to unpack this with my good friend, Susan K. Worley, founder of the Cheetah Method, an insightful and enormously topical guest today. Join our conversation here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back after this quick break.
Serving just an appendage, lift to attend him so that he never lifts a finger. 24/7 baby machine, so he can live out his picket fence dreams. It's not an act of love if you make her, you make me do too much labor. All day, every day, therapist.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Always remember, you can listen crystal clear from wherever you are on this rock hurtling through the universe by downloading the Civic Media app. You can listen on the radio here in southeastern Wisconsin by tuning to 540 AM or 101 FM if you are in the Waukesha land area. I am here joined in the studio with Susan K. Worley, inventor of the Cheetah Method, executive coach extraordinaire. We're talking about women's self-silencing, the curse of competence, the crisis of congeniality, that our purpose must be perfection. And as ever and always, Anya's got the great music. What was that coming back in? Labor by, I missed the artist.
That was Labor by, let me get her name right, Paris Paloma. I love that name, Labor.
Very, and L-A-B-O-U-R.
That's right.
The English spelling.
The English, Labor.
Yes. just wanted to drop a couple more facts. In the 1980s, a Harvard-trained psychologist, and I forget the guy's name, I just picked up the study, wrote a paper about the fact that he had been treating women with very persistent and deep depression, and he identified basically four or five common characteristics that basically, if women experienced these, it would lead to depression, right? And they were self-silencing, compulsive caretaking, pleasing the other, the inhibition of self-expression in an attempt to actually achieve intimacy and have their relational needs met.
Oh, can I relate to this?
Right?
Oh my gosh, my story, I'm having a docuseries that's coming out next year, And there's three threads to the story. The first one is my true real life story, which was about self-silencing. We had a secret in my family. It was my mother's affair that she had had when she was married. And we were a very Catholic family. Yeah. My aunt was the president of Mount Mary College here. Helped to write the Catholic curriculum. I mean, we have pictures with her with President Lyndon Johnson. So everybody was trying to, you know, really behave themselves. But my mom, she ended up having my brother and I with another man when she was married. Now, here's me, 5 years old, super intuitive. And I'm saying to my mom, Mom, that's not my real dad that's raising me, is it? Her married husband. Where did you get that silly idea from? That's your silly imagination. So silencing that. Now, I don't blame my mom for that at all. That was her shame.
The time.
Yep. Or the time of our world then. There was no such thing as an annulment with the Catholic Church at the time or anything like that. But what's interesting to me is my self-silencing due to exactly what you're saying, Maggie. That need to be connected, that need for love. You know, and that's why we do it. We have to own that. We have to own that, women, that it's not somebody else silencing us. It's why are we self-silencing? Because we want that love.
Well, and I think understanding, to me, when I read a lot of this, the statistics, some of the studies, what really jumped off the page to me is that all of these things that frankly get affirmed and that are, in effect, cultural expectations, they're gender norms, right? That when we internalize these behaviors, what we're doing is robbing ourselves of choice and agency, right?
100%.
Because if your needs are shameful, whether they're sexual needs or professional needs or 100%. Relational needs, emotional needs, those things are a point of shame. If a boundary can't be set because you will disappoint, it starts to feel like you don't have agency and choice. It's extremely disempowering.
And that's where I have complete compassion for my mother. I know she wanted to have children. I'm not even sure she wanted to be married ever.
But there wasn't an option.
In that day and age. And thank goodness for, who's her, Angelina Jolie, where she made People Magazine for, when she was having all these kids without being married at first. I think it really gave women freedom to start looking at, what do I want?
Yes.
And how do I want to get that
in
my life?
One of my favorite callers is on the line. A professor, so an academic, an intellectual, a very, very smart lady. Joanne from Madison, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Say hi to Susan, and what do you have to share this afternoon?
This is Joe from Madison.
Oh, so I'm sorry, Joe.
A Joe and a Joanne. Yeah. Well, I wish I were a university professor. I know Joanne, and she's very, very eloquent and all, but I'm Joe, a little bit... smaller in the competency field, but
I have to stop you there, Joe. Here's what we all have to stop doing, right? And that's immediately devaluing what we're about to say. So you needn't be a university professor to have some great insight and lived experience to share. So my apologies for getting it wrong, Joe. You go be you. What you have to say is just as valuable as anybody else. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, and I hope that Joanne calls too, because she's a great talker too. So at any rate, I did want to make the point, two points that I wanted to make. Number one, within this last couple of weeks, Simone Biles got herself the title of the most decorated gymnast in history. Now, I would add on to this that back in 2021, if you recall, she left the Olympic team before an individual stuff was done and before the team played, because she felt that her mind and her body were not in sync for the Olympic performance. She was reamed up one side and down the other. How dare you? You lightheaded idiot woman. You're letting your team down. You're a loser. Blah blah blah. And I thought it was really interesting that as you talked about it more, you realize there are gymnasts when they have been out of sync, women gymnasts who have fallen and injured themselves terribly. There's a woman out of England who was left with spinal cord injuries from a gymnastic injury. And now here she is 2 years later, listening to herself. But I can remember men making the comment of, God, it's just like a woman. I don't feel well, so I don't think I'll finish what I'm doing on the team.
Yeah, it's really, thank you so much for that, Joe. We're going to talk a little bit more about Miss Biles, also Miss Coco Gauff when we come back, about mental health and athletes. We're going to go to break. Join our conversation, 844-967-2789. You've got Susan K. Worley, executive coach to the best women leaders in southeastern Wisconsin, here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Anya is indeed amazing. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. If you didn't catch her this week, she was hosting. She was on the board and hosting, doing all of the works. This past Tuesday and Wednesday, you can go to the Maggie Dawn Show and hear Anya. We're working on making this a more formal arrangement, my good, good friend and producer extraordinaire. I'm always happy to have you on the air. Very happy to have you today, Anya.
I'm always happy to be on the air with you, Maggie.
Oh, big hearts.
Big hearts.
So, ladies, do you self-silence? Do you feel like you have the curse of competence, meaning you always have to demonstrate competence, the curse of control, the crisis of congeniality, that your purpose must be perfection, right? The disaster of disappointment, that you can never do those kinds of things. And if you do, you're unworthy, you don't bring value, that you must feel shame. It's interesting, Susan, that you mentioned before the break, we had a caller, Joe from Madison, talking about what I think are interestingly interrelated things, right? In Simone Biles, you had a world-class athlete that said, I'm not safe to go do this work. Her work as a gymnast, right, in the Olympics. She was roundly criticized. Now, Michael Phelps and a lot of Olympic athletes, there's a docu-series or a documentary out there called The Curse of Gold or something like that, the mental health cost of gold, and it talks a bit about this. This isn't unique to women sometimes, especially in sports. I was a college athlete. I played hurt. I played concussed. And the expectation was as soon as I lost my physical usefulness, right, I had no value and therefore couldn't establish meaningful boundaries. Oh boy, does that translate into the sexual realm as well, right? Women, if you've, I have said yes, even when I didn't want to. This doesn't just show up for women in leaderships or in professions or in our family lives. I think for a lot of young women, it shows up in sexual safety or the lack thereof. If you don't feel safe and empowered in setting a boundary, that we haven't done our work and we haven't done the right support for young women.
And it starts even earlier before that sexual offense. It's the joking, the sexual joking. And women oftentimes will laugh like it's okay instead of looking like, excuse me, stop that.
Yep. The objectification, right, is a problem.
Because usually that those predators will start with, oh, okay, I got away with that. Now
boundary pushing.
Exactly.
Right? That is, when you don't feel safe, when you feel a boundary has been crossed, it is very much okay. And those that truly love and care about you as a human being will help support your boundary setting. They won't continue to cross it. And that is such a challenge for so many of us. You know, if we look back historically, and we could spend an entire show talking about the Catholic Church, but, you know, women being in abusive marriages, effectively sanctioned rape within marriage, right? All of these things are about women are not human beings with boundaries that need to be respected and honored in a way that is on equal footing with men. If you want to join the conversation, we're going to go to the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Cindy, you're on the line. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say? And please welcome Susan, my guest.
Well, welcome, Susan.
And hi, Cindy.
I would like to say that I think this is the residual effects from the years of women being barefoot pregnant and in the kitchen. And I would say that these are something I have never experienced, because I've always been, for as long as I can remember, a very outspoken person. And of course, as you probably know, it has not always served me well over my lifetime, especially in careers where men were in charge. But I have never been one to not speak my mind, because I think that's what I was given a mind for and a mouth for. And, you know, I'm 67 years old, never been married. There's probably a reason for that as well. But I honestly believe that women have got to get out of that mold and start taking the Barbie effect and do what we got to do.
Yeah, I think a lot has Yes, thank you very much. I love the imagery of getting out of the kitchen barefoot, because I do think women have more choices when they believe that they can financially support themselves. If you don't believe you can financially support yourself, what that does is that triggers the fear of safety and security. And I'm talking safety and security, meaning putting food on the table, putting a roof over your head. And then we've got to get to that next tier, which is that whole idea of love and belonging, because our society is about couples. So guess what? You know, if you decide to not be married like you did, Cindy, or get a divorce or say no, and it could maybe lead to that ending of that relationship, you know, you might feel alone a little bit.
It's as a single woman who's been single my entire life and been in a lot of different environments where people questioned that or wondered about it. I still get asked on occasion, hey, are you dating anyone interesting? And I'm always tempted to say no, but I'm sleeping with a lot of really uninteresting men. Right? It's like, oh, no. My job's going well. You know, I got the state's largest, single most historical settlement from the opioid manufacturers and distributors. But thanks for asking about whether or not I'm dating someone.
Yeah. I've been divorced 3 times. And if I'm perfectly honest, I said yes because I didn't know how to say no. I remember really, and it's not that I can't say they were bad guys. They were nice guys, but they weren't my right guy. And I said yes. I've been asked to be married 7 times. I learned to say no. I learned to say no.
There are solutions here. And one of the first ones, and I don't want to spend too much or all of the hour talking about the problem, right? Like, so let's solution together. And women, if you have experiences like Cindy, speaking up and speaking out, I am very, very comfortable and happy being unmarried. I can't imagine another state of being, right? If you want to share those experiences about empowerment and having your voice or being in a workplace where that's valued, 844-967-2789. I have been very blessed to have a day job where my voice is valued and respected, and I try to share my sense of safety with everyone that works with me in the office so that we all feel like we're being deeply respected and that boundaries and expectations and needs and all those things have value. But just very briefly, I want to talk about a couple of solutions. One is for women, that our emotions, our gut instincts, those things that, you know, the back of the neck, our lizard brain that I like to call it, the reptilian brain when it's screaming at you about something, those are not things to be managed and repressed. They're windows of insight. And there is something really important that's speaking to you in those moments. And it is really critical to not just honor that, but listen to it. So that's thing one. Thing two, when you feel angry and frustrated, that may be a completely appropriate emotion that can be.
Something has to change.
Right.
And that's what that emotion is telling you. People don't really understand the emotion of anger. They think of it as being this enraged sort of thing, but it's really just a signal within our body that says something has to change.
And there is a need that's being
right.
unmet. It is perfectly okay to feel anger and frustration and say, what is it that I need now? What needs to change?
Yeah. And I always use the phrase to say, okay, I'm feeling angry. What needs to change and how might I get it? Because that's the empowering piece right there. When you ask yourself, how might I get that?
And that's the sort of third part about solutioning here, And that is, even in a disempowered or power asymmetrical relationship, say between yourself and a boss, you always have choice. And it's why financial literacy and financial planning for women is so critical, that we have some kind of financial little nut to get us through 2 to 3 months. If our choice is, this is not a safe workplace, this is an abusive workplace, I need to leave, because exiting is always a choice. And you want to be able to do that with agency, which means you're not left in a destitute state. So that's part three, which is, you do have choice. Even in moments and in situations that you feel robbed of choice, you have choice. If you need support in fulfilling your agency and making hard choices, if you don't ask, people can't step up and help you.
Yeah. And let's talk about that person who maybe doesn't have that savings or have those financial resources. I really believe that there's something bigger than ourselves out there that will help us. That if when we surrender, we know something's not working for us. Maybe it's a personal relationship. Maybe we're setting a boundary. Maybe at work we're setting a boundary because they're demanding too much of us. And we're thinking, oh, I'm scared. If I do this, I'm going to lose my job. I don't have enough money to pay my whatever you have to pay. But when you just surrender that and you stay in alignment with your truth and you speak your truth, if that relationship should go, if that job, you know, that person should fire you, I do believe you, when you surrender, you are stepping into the fold, and this or something better will appear. And that is the mantra that I teach people, is to say, this or something better will appear. And when you believe that, it happens, because you just see it.
I think if I'm going to wax a little nostalgic on one of my professional experiences, I was told, after toiling in big law, and I mean, I'm talking about billable hours nearing 3,000. This is where you're never not working. I was short bonused and told there was no partnership track for me. And I knew people that were intellectually lightweight compared to me and big butt kissers that were getting full bonuses plus. And it was dressed up in this language of meritocracy, which is mythology, right? And I said, I have to leave and I don't want to be here anymore. And it was in the bottom of the market. Well, I went through about 4 years of identity crisis, because I thought who I was what I did, was my job. And it was because a lot of the external had told me that that was what was valuable about me.
And what you're talking
about, the title, that the work, the salary, all of that, that those external demonstratives were that proved that I was valuable.
And that's part of the way we become empowered. I call it the locus of control. When we can start bringing that locus of control back to ourselves, listening to that inner truth, that voice within, instead of believing our identity is, I'm an athlete, like you were talking about earlier, or this job makes me who I am, or it's this income I have, or this lifestyle that I have, that makes me who I am. When we can detach from all of that and just listen to our truth and be our truth, it all unfolds.
And that, it took me a while to get there, but I realized that that place was toxic. It did not align with my values. It was not who I wanted to be. It wasn't who I wanted to become. That none of those things lined up. And no wonder, guess what I was? Sick.
Yeah.
I was an insomniac. I had like debilitating muscle spasms. My blood pressure was through the roof. I was depressed and anxious all the time. I was on 5 different medications. Finally, it occurred to me, you know, those like moments of clarity, looking back on that, there is no job that should require me to take 5 medications so that I can continue to do the job. Maybe the problem isn't me or my body or my brain. It's the freaking job. You fill in the blank for you. The problem isn't me or my emotions or my brain. The problem is, fill in the blank, the job, the boss, the partner.
Or what if we even said the job was that you weren't in alignment with your truth? It's not even that we've got to place the blame on the other person. It's that you're not in alignment.
Yes. And I don't mean blame. Mm-hmm. I just mean like, hey, this is not
working for you.
Working for me, and yes, there's nothing wrong with me saying that. We'll be back with more in a moment. 844-967-2789. Mark and Nancy, I see you on the line. We're going to go right to the phones. 844-967-2789. Here on the Maggie Dawn Show with my dear friend and professional coach extraordinaire, Susan K. Worley, here on the Civic Media Radio. I'm just a girl, little old me. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. It's our last segment of the day. My thanks to Susan K. Worley for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
So much fun. You can join us for this last segment, 844-967-2789. Nancy, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Say hi to Susan.
Hi, Susan. Hi, Maggie. Thanks for discussing this topic. This really hits home. I'm a woman in her 50s, and I kind of call it the princess syndrome. When I was a young girl, you know, we dreamed of being married and being taken care of. And I remember my first real job after college, and I remember the HR person said, well, you're really lucky to get into this job.
Oh.
And ended up taking the lower amount of money. And kept the job for 20-some years. And kind of like what Maggie did with anxiety medication and everything. And really questioned my self-worth. And finally, about 6-7 years ago, another job came open. I applied, was offered it. Instead of taking the low amount, the minimum amount, I requested the maximum amount plus.
Woo-hoo!
And I was fortunate enough to get it.
You go, girl.
But I hope women of all ages understand their value, their worth. I mean, whether you are taking a stay-at-home mom, taking care of kids or elderly parents or out in the workplace or everything, you are valuable. And we have to be strong internally.
Wow. Well said.
Thanks so much, Nancy. And congratulations to you. I hope you continue to advocate for yourself in the workplace and outside of it. Ladies, men apply for jobs that they're not qualified for all the time. They're like, oh, I don't mean half of those qualifications.
I'll figure it out as we go.
Men in classrooms, they don't know the answer. Hands going up, all that kind of stuff. We could talk tactically. I want to talk thematically about solutions. Again, we've outlined a couple of them. Frame shift. Your emotions aren't things to suppress. They're windows of insight that help you understand needs. Anger, frustration, that's a key that there's a need that's not being met. What is it? And then third and fourth, expressing needs or expectations is okay. Boundaries and saying no should be part of your vocabulary. If you're never saying no, check yourself, ladies, because you need to get there, right?
And listen to your gut. Your gut is your unconscious brain. And so you know your truth. And if it's hard for you to speak your truth or act upon it, it usually is because of a perceived attachment to the outcome of safety and security, love and belonging. You somehow are giving your power away instead of bringing it back to yourself. This or something better. This or something better.
Let's go to the phones. Nick, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. Say hi to Susan. What do you have this afternoon?
Hey, Maggie. How are you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to give my little perspective, because I just accepted a new job from my old job because it became kind of a toxic work environment. And I'm not going to name names at all, but basically the rules kept changing and changing and changing. And then my boss, who is still my friend, we've been friends for over 12 years. Mm-hmm. She asked, why are you really leaving? And she's a Game of Thrones fan like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I keep hearing the client wants, the client wants, the client wants, the client wants, even if it's stupid. And finally, I just said, F the king, you know?
Yeah.
And then she actually looked down on our teams meeting and she said, Nick, I get it.
Yeah, that is so powerful, Nick. Thanks. One, I think, experience that certainly Susan and I have had is that in certain markets and sectors, the client is used to excuse all kinds of abuse. Not okay. And as a legal matter, employers are responsible for harassment and abuse that clients or vendors basically expose their employees
to. Well, and let's talk about the root cause of that. The root cause of that is usually the owners are attached again to the outcome, which is the fiscal piece of it. Whether they have a loan in the bank and they have to meet their EBITDA or they just want to have a larger profit margin, they are attached to wanting that and therefore are asking you
to accept things that should be unacceptable.
Exactly.
That little piece there, right? There's such a key to that. Clients are to be managed. And if you're a business owner, you got to manage the clients. You got to set expectations clearly. When somebody constantly moves the goalposts, that's a form of gaslighting. Beware, right?
And that's why I say when I work with leaders, I want to increase their gut intelligence, because gut intelligence is the wisdom to know the truth and the guts to do something about it. And if leaders aren't doing that at a high level with their clients, guess what kind of culture you're going to be working in? And that's exactly what you described.
Susan, where can people find you if they want to engage with you and learn more about how to be an effective leader?
You bet. They can go to my website, bizremedies.com. That's BIZREMEDIES.com. Or just find me on Facebook, Susan K. Worley, K-A-Y.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for being here. I've got a couple closing thoughts. There is no woman that I know that has lived all of her days on this earth setting healthy boundaries, expressing needs and expectations, understanding emotions and expressing them in a healthy way. It's the human condition, and it can happen for men. This happens for people of color. It happens in the LGBTQ plus community. The key is that these are practiced things. We don't come out of the womb knowing how to do this. A lot of how we are acculturated tell us that these things are actually bad. There's a great book out there. It's called The Myth of Normal by a doctor that talks a lot about this. But we can practice these things and bring them into our daily lives in little bits. It starts with tiny little bits. If you are never saying no, check out where your boundaries are. Check out where your needs are. Are they being met? And start small, because if this ain't a light switch.
Start at the restaurant by saying the food was cold.
Yes. How many folks do you know they get sat by the kitchen or the food's cold or bad? And
or I asked for this medium rare and it's well done.
Yes. Start small. Build your boundary muscle. Build your expectation muscle. And in doing so, build your voice. I hope you feel empowered from this afternoon with Susan K. Worley and Maggie Dawn here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back next week with more. Thanks for listening, everybody.